Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking again about the Kingdom of God. And there was a recent story that appeared in the network where somebody brought up the fact that police seized 10 children. They seized them because evidently the parents were home educating their children. And they came in rather Gestapo's style, you know, just grabbing the kids, threatening the parents, reaching for sidearms and threatening them physically if they didn't turn over their children to them, and they took their children away. I guess they're in the process of suing at this time, but the Children's Services had originally visited, and they claimed this particular individual claiming to be Children's Services claimed all kinds of things as they came in to investigate. And originally the parents called the police, thinking the police would help defend them and their rights to their children and to the protection of their children. And instead, they defended the bureaucrat who was usurping the rights that bureaucrat really had. I see in the off-grid news that this family of 12 in rural Kentucky was raided, according to the terminology here. Mother was arrested for verbally resisting arrest because she was, of course, pleading with the police officers not to take two of her children that were with her. The rest of the children were with the father. And then when the father was confronted, he was threatened that he had to turn over these children or he would be arrested and thrown into jail, as if he was some kind of a criminal, like he robbed a bank or something. Now, I haven't seen any wrongdoing that this particular family has done. Most of the articles say they're homeschooling their kids. They kind of have an unschooling approach to it where the kids get to pick certain curriculums. And that can be done well or it can be done poorly. But the fact is you can go to public education and get a poor education. Homeschoolers score way higher than public school children on average. And it's not because they're not smarter or anything like that. I mean, I've seen where children were having trouble in school and flunking out. And so the parents tried to take them home and home teach them. And immediately they began to get A's and B's in the same tests and the same curriculum, but they were being taught at home instead of school. Nobody ran into the school and arrested the teachers, threatened to arrest the teachers for doing a poor job. I mean, here's a kid flunking out when he's in school, but when he goes home, he's getting A's and B's. And there was no raid on the school for malpractice or abuse of the children. All the other children were getting whatever grades. That particular school that I'm talking about, as a matter of fact, valedictorians, salutatorians from that school went on to college and dropped out. They found college an absolute shocking event. They were completely overwhelmed by the work that they were actually required to do. Why? Because that public school doesn't really challenge the kids. They don't prepare them for college. They don't prepare them for life. As a matter of fact, they're distorting the understanding of those children and the abilities of those children to cope with life. And someone, you know, who knows quite a few of the graduates of the schools said, "Can you tell me one of those kids that has ever achieved anything?" Well, actually, because I do know many of those kids, I came up with one or two that actually did. But why not more? My father went to a one-room schoolhouse on the South Dakota prairies. And it produced several admirals, a general, a vice president of the United States. And it's a one-room schoolhouse. I mean, what the heck were they teaching them there? So the fact is the schools have an immunity. They can do a poor job, and it's not their fault. But if a parent does a poor job in homeschooling their children, then, you know, then all homeschoolers are criminals. And you should be able to come in and storm in with guns. I mean, you can't take those guns into the school, but you can evidently go into those people's houses and threaten them with violence. So there were a number of stories that came out, and there was one in particular. I'll see if I can find it here. I tried to send them out to the network, and I had trouble this morning sending them. It was very early. First time I tried to send it was around 2. Next time I tried to send it was around 6 or so. And it just didn't, it never appeared in our network. So I eventually sent it on to the contact ministers and said, you forward this. And so a lot of people may be getting it late, but it had a lot of the links in it to some of the stories, including the family's own webpage. And what actually was going on in that original contact with the family. And Wind had an article, and they went through a great deal of this stuff. I guess it's a New Jersey family is suing the state Child Protective Agency after it allegedly sent in a caseworker to their home to interrogate them on everything from their son's homeschooling education to questions about vaccines, guns in the house, etc. And this is evidently another family. Christopher Zimmer and his wife, Nicole Belvedere, filed a civil rights complaint in April in the U.S. District Court in Trenton, alleging unlawful and unconstitutional home intrusion. I won't forget this morning for a long, long time, said Christopher Zimmer, thinking back to Tuesday, January 13th, which began with a caseworker knocking on his front door. He said Michelle Marchese, a caseworker of the State Division of Child Protection and Permanency, demanded she be let inside the house now. According to the court documents, started by the aggressive confrontation, Christopher Zimmer asked the purpose of her visit. Marchese refused to answer the question, saying only that 15-year-old Christopher Zimmer Jr. was not getting a proper education, and she was at the Zimmer home under the authority of the DCPNP to make sure they were homeschooling their son correctly. So anyway, it goes on where the Zimmers let the woman inside, attempting to prove they had nothing to hide. But after several hours, the family described the intense interrogation. Became clear that the issue was not going to be quickly resolved. My fear was if I didn't let her in the house, if I had closed the door and didn't let her into the house, then the police would be knocking at the door and think I'm hiding something. So he let her in out of fear of repercussions, fear of, you know, saying, you know, you can't come in. You can't come in and gather evidence against me to accuse me of a crime. You see, they've waived that right, that you have the right to privacy when it comes to children. And why? Because they're not your children anymore. And it's a fundamental warning that Christ gave you. Call no man on earth father. That's a warning. Don't make the state your father, your sugar daddy, your benefactor, your patronus, your conscripted fathers. I'm using words like conscripted fathers, conscripti patri. It's a Latin term, and it refers to the Senate of Rome, who became the fathers of the people because they provided benefits, health, education, and welfare. They were not real heavy on education, but there was public education. There certainly was public welfare. And there, even at one time in Rome, there was universal health care. All this was part of a process of making the state your father, your patronus, our Father who art in Rome, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come when thy will be done. That's what people were praying. And that was the manner in which people were praying. They were praying to Caesar for benefits. They were making Caesar their father. And Jesus said, call no man on earth patri, father. Now, that's just a simple matter of historical deduction if you have the information about history. But the modern Christian doesn't have that. It's been deleted from their education because they went to public school. And they went to private schools where the curriculum was established by somebody else. So you're not going to hear things like that there. That Jesus was saying, call no man on earth father. What do you think he meant? Did you ever wonder about that? Are you calling? If you're calling another man your father, your benefactor, you're not following what Christ said. You're not believing Christ. You think he was kidding when he said, call no man on earth father, and pray to your father in heaven, not to any father on earth. Apply to your father in heaven for your needs, not to the fathers of the earth or the world where you live. When this woman was in the Zimmer house, she attempted to quote from New Jersey law requiring that guns and ammo be kept separate. She then went to Zimmer's son's bedroom and inspected it, asking if the teen had ever appeared suicidal, according to the suit that the Zimmers have submitted. Why? Because somehow or other, owning guns now brings you into suspicion. It used to be a fundamental right. It was actually, according to George Washington, a sacred right. Now you may not be able to keep your children if you own guns, because somebody's deemed it irresponsible to exercise your right. To exercise your right to privacy. To exercise your right to your children. Do you have a fundamental right to educate your children? This is a question that we're going to look at. And we're going to get a number of different opinions of it. But we're actually talking about a spirit that is alive and well in the world today, that is growing rapidly all around you. And we're going to eventually talk about the solution. I talked about some of the solution on a private call with one of the congregations of record. And now we're going to bring it home. We're going to bring it home as to exact what you can do. And you need to do something, because the Marchese's of the world are becoming more and more numerous, more and more powerful, and your neighbor could care less. Your neighbor doesn't love you anymore. But then again, do you love your neighbor? You know, if you're sending your kid to public education, then you want to force your neighbor to pay for your child's education. You actually covet what is your neighbor's. You want somebody to take it away from your neighbor so that you can have free education for your children. Yeah, you pay in taxes, but you don't pay enough in to pay for your child's education. If you have two or three or four kids, you don't even pay close to enough. So you're asking somebody else to pay for it. And since all the governments of the world are operating in the red, you're actually cursing your children with debt, because they're going to borrow the money to provide your children with free education. And you think that's okay, and you also think that you're following Christ. Not so. You can't be doing both. So, yeah, you know, so we're going to cover this where they talk about all Christians don't homeschool their children. Yeah, they do. All Christians, all real followers of Christ, they don't send their kids to public education. Not because it's providing an inferior product, not because it's going to expose your children to the immoral damage already done to many of the other children in the class because they're allowed to see anything they want, because their parents are immoral and they impart that immorality onto their children, and then their children play with your children, and then your children are going to be exposed to the same spiritual vices that have been implanted in the children of parents that are really wicked people. You're going to expose your children to that. And school's going to close the door so you don't see it happening. So that's not why you don't send your kids to school. That would be a good reason, but that's not why Christians don't send their kids to school. Christians don't send their kids to public education because they don't covet their neighbor's goods. Because that's one of the Ten Commandments. And Jesus said, if you want eternal life, keep the commandments. And if your policy is, no, it doesn't matter, I can covet my neighbor's goods as long as I do it to the agency of government, then you're a liar. And liars don't get into the kingdom of heaven, according to Paul. Because you're not following Christ, you're not keeping the commandments. And you don't love your neighbor as yourself. Which is half the law that Christ gave you. Gave you two laws. Love God, which would mean keeping his commandments, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you're sending your kids to public school, you're not doing either one. You've been led to believe that that's okay. But you've been led to believe a lot of stuff. But you're under a strong delusion. The Zimmers believe the intrusive visit was brought on by a confidential tip about improper homeschooling from a minor child known to their son. If they had come with a complaint of neglect and abuse, come in and asked us, but to question us about homeschooling, for us it was a good choice. And I will always advocate the homeschooling, says Nicole Zimmer. But their suit claims homeschooling issues aren't the responsibility of the DCPNP. If the Marchese inspector left the home, they revoked the HIPAA release form and retained an attorney, who sent a letter demanding the state agency cease and desist from all direct contact with the Zimmers and their health care providers. They had to hire an attorney. That's going to cost them. I hope they had enough money. This is the thing. This worker was claiming that homeschooling people in that particular state had to comply with the existing curriculums in the school. The law does not require or authorize the local board of education to review and approve the curriculum or programs of a child educated elsewhere than at school. When parent, guardian educate a child elsewhere than at school, they are responsible for the education outcome of the child. The local board of education is not required to authorize to monitor the outcomes of the child in that particular state. Now, other states are getting more autocratic in their rule. And we should take a look at what's actually going on. But I tell you, there's a spirit and desire of control. You see it in home education. You see it in home defense. You see it in health. What, you know, and this particular worker was also asking about vaccines. Are they up to date on their vaccines? But one of the most phenomenal things that came out in this whole process was there's a new form of abuse that they've come up with. And that is identity abuse. We're going to show you how Christians were actually persecuted for that crime. Identification abuse. They were persecuted for that crime in 168 AD as an official persecution by one of the emperors who has the worst human rights record, and he did it because of identification abuse by Christians. And this is a new, I had never even heard this phrase. I saw it coming, but I hadn't heard the phrase. Identification abuse, also known as identity or ID abuse, was previously defined by a group called Harrow, which I think somebody ought to send an investigative reporter in and find out who Harrow is and where they're getting their money. Because this is a devious, evil group who claim to be former homeschoolers. And they'll probably get some former homeschoolers to go along with this because people don't understand what's going on. They're not enlightened. They're not awake. What they call identification abuse is not providing you with withholding or destroying your identification documents, driver's license, social security cards, etc. If you don't provide a social security card for your children, these guys consider that identification abuse. That's abuse. You're abusing your children. Well, what if the social security is the mark of the beast? It is, what if there's another mark of the beast as part of your identification? I mean, in October, they have the National ID Act is taking place. And if you don't get the mark of the beast for your children, that's identification abuse. Whatever it is. I mean, if it's a chip or whatever, that's going to be counted as identification abuse. You're abusing your children because you didn't get them the mark of the beast. Well, how crazy is this? Well, like I say in Isaiah 5:20, woe unto those who call evil good and good evil. Talk more when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same, and we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints, but they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook, facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. You must become a doer of the word. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We were reading from Isaiah 5:20 just as we went to the break. And it says, woe unto those who call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The people who do this have a certain spiritual connection with the darkness. They think they're right. It goes on to say, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. They imagine they know what they're doing. They imagine they're right. They're socialists. Their immoral behavior, their unnatural behavior, they're sure that's right in their own eyes. But deep down in their spirit, they know they're not right. So they want to force you to be like them. They can't stand it. It's like going into a bar and everybody's drinking, but you just order milk. They don't like that. They want you to drink too, to drink of their poison. Because they're wise in their own eyes. And they call evil good and good evil. That's a spiritual characteristic of the dark side, of the evil side, of the side without light. They want to control others. You may be more on the other side where you don't want to control others, but you cannot be lukewarm. You see, they have an agenda. They want to control. They're going to work and work. They'll lose here, but then they'll come back and work over here, and then they'll keep whittling away at your rights at every chance they get because they're motivated to destroy you. They want the light off. You have a little bit of light on, maybe. But do you want the light on for others? Or are you lukewarm? Are you contributing daily to getting the gospel of the kingdom out to other people? No, I know the truth and I'm just going to go skating along. You're lukewarm. You're puke in God's eyes. He hates your deeds or lack of them. You cannot be lukewarm. You have to be dedicated to the message of Christ, to call light, light. You need to actually do that. Woe unto them who are wise in their own eyes, prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine. What do they mean, mighty to drink wine? They're motivated to get other people like themselves because deep down they know they're wrong, but their vanity wants them to believe that they are right. And if you're not doing what they're doing, that bothers them. They want to make you do it. They will storm into your house, take your children away, and make you do things their way. That's the spirit of darkness, you see. And it can be in bureaucrats and policemen and soldiers. And somebody posted something, I didn't see it, but somebody was telling me about it, about Al Sharpton wants to nationalize the police force. And somebody made a sarcastic comment. Nationalize the police force. Gosh, why didn't we think of that? And then they show pictures of Nazi Gestapo. They nationalize the police force. You're not supposed to, to nationalize the police force is to cross the Rubicon. It's to use the military might of government to control you, directly in opposition to Deuteronomy 17:16, and the five precepts of the rules you need to make for any ruler you give the power to exercise authority. The beast is composed of the beast in every man who serves the beast. Their nature is to control others, to manipulate others. This is why you find these cheese eaters, these stoolies who try to make trouble with anonymous complaints for homeschoolers. They hate them. They despise them. They want to destroy them. They hate the light. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, to delude themselves, which justify the wicked for reward. Benefits. The word reward, benefits. They justify themselves and the wickedness they do for reward, to get free education, free health care, benefits at the expense of their neighbor. They justify this wickedness. They even call themselves Christians while they do it. But they're actually workers of iniquity. And take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. In other words, somebody's homeschooling their kids, not being a burden on their neighbor, not forcing their neighbor to educate their children. He wants to take that right away from you. The righteousness of your act irritates him. He hates it that you're homeschooling, because it's a suggestion that he was lazy and slothful. There's something wrong with what he did. You see, they take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Woe unto these guys, but woe unto you if you are lukewarm and are not gathering together to set your neighbor free. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. That's describing an awful lot of Christians, so-called Christians, because they're not really Christian. They actually despise the dominion of the Lord and love the dominion of men over men. So anyway, I talked about identification abuse. You know, you don't get a Social Security number for your kids. Now, if you don't get a Social Security number for your kids, you can't deduct them. So it's going to cost you more. So you're going to pay more in taxes when you don't get that Social Security number for your kids. So that should be, everybody should be just tickled pink about that, because that's going to be more money in the coffers and less debt. But they don't care. You're not doing it like they do it. So they want to count it as abuse. And if you read the Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act, which they call CAPTA, it's where they cut off the heads of your fathers. You know, because the fathers of the family can't make the decisions anymore. They've cut the heads off already. Already happened. They define child abuse and neglect as any recent act or failure to act on the part of a parent or caretaker which results in death, serious physical or emotional harm. Well, boy, you had emotional harm. That could mean almost anything. You embarrassed your child. Now, your child go to public school. He gets embarrassed by the teacher, ridiculed by the teacher, put down by the teacher, mocked by the teacher. Police don't go in and arrest them. I've seen it. I've been in the classrooms watching teachers do this to first graders and second graders. I was supposed to be fixing the formica in the classroom. But I could see it going on. She would just take one student over at a time and practice her reading. Angry. Humiliating the children one after another. And that you're paying them to do that. You know, that's scarring your children. You know, I was pointing out that, you know, the people who brought gay rights to the United States from Germany, I mean, you can follow the history of it. There are people who talk about it and explain how this works. There's a book coming out on the subject. You know, and claiming that, you know, you're born gay, which is an interesting claim. There doesn't seem to be any proof of that. Studies of twins in half a dozen different countries show that, no, there doesn't seem to be any connection genetically. But anyway, the point was, the people who were really activists in this, the one in Germany was molested when he was 14 years old, the one in America, I think he was molested when he was 12 years old by a relative. He wasn't born gay, he was made gay. Well, what's the process? How come he was molested and he does this? I mean, you see, you know, people like Jeffrey Dahmer and all these people, they had these traumatic events in their childhood, and it warped them. Wow. Now they can overcome this. They can be cured. Healed. Let's put it that way. If I use the word cure, I could be arrested. But they could be healed. Naturally. But what has driven them because of this trauma, you know, when they were 10, 12, 13 years old? What's the process that's going on there? Well, it's really trauma is painful. That something happens that's painful, frightened you, scared you, caused anguish, caused emotional harm to you. And you don't want to remember that. You don't want to think about it. You know, you want to put it away. So you put it like in a closet in your mind and you close the door. Well, when you put it away, there's stuff attached to it. You know, if you're approaching puberty and somebody molests you, the natural adjustment to this change of life that is taking place doesn't finish. It's thwarted, it's stunted. And you put it and the trauma in this closet. So you can never finish that maturing. And helping people, I see people because I look at people in a spiritual sense, you know, I will see somebody talking and they'll be 30, 40 years old, and I will see a spiritual child there. Someone who's 8 or 12 or 14. And what happened when they were 8, 12, or 14, or sometimes 4 or 5? And sure enough, I find out, there it is, the trauma. And they could never mature naturally after that, because they can't continue the process of maturing, because that process, everything connected with that process, was put in that closet with that painful trauma in your mind. And you just don't look at it. You need to go and look at it. And you need somebody with compassion to take your hand and go with you and look at it. And deal with it. And forgive. So that you can be released from that and continue to mature as an individual. And grow as an individual. Well, though, when you send your kids to public school and these people who don't love your children as you do traumatize them over there at the little table when they're teaching them to read, or humiliate them in front of the class, or praise them, because that's an appeal to vanity. You know, you want self-esteem, but you don't want vanity. You know, you want personal pride, but you don't want arrogant pride. So how do you draw the line between those things? Well, I can tell you this, many, many people don't know how to distinguish that. And they feed the pride and arrogance. I see it among rich kids all the time. Although I see the humiliation and degradation among rich kids too. It's just, you have to look beyond the surface things. But anyway, putting your kids in public school, you're not going to deal with your own emotional traumas and issues that came to you when you were growing up. You need to raise your children. And you have a prior right to do so. But that doesn't mean you have a fundamental right to do so. It is fundamental. It is prior. But if it's prior, you can lose it. How do you lose it? Well, these are some of the things we're going to explore. And so I mentioned this Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act, which is defining these abuses as abuses that result in death. Well, that's pretty big, results in death. How many suicides take place amongst kids who go to public school? How many suicides take place per capita among children that are homeschooled? If substantially more children are committing suicide in public school, maybe public school is the culprit, and they are guilty of child abuse. I can guarantee you public education is child abuse. I can guarantee you that. Serious physical harm. Well, what are they feeding them? At the school. Used to have a pop machine and a candy machine in the hallway at school. That could be serious physical harm. Just depends on point of view. Emotional harm, I see it every day. Sexual abuse, I can show you the place in the local school where many a young girl lost her virginity. I know where that is because all the kids know where it is. It's a little hiding place down in the gymnasium. Nobody hardly goes there except to deflower your daughters. Put your daughters in these vulnerable positions when they're trying to come to grips with their own personal sexuality. It's sexual abuse. You putting them in harm's way. You say, well, our kids have to learn to adjust and they have to learn to deal with these things in life. You're talking children here. You don't put them on the battlefield. You raise them up. You get them values. You allow them to mature. You allow them to deal with life in doses they can handle. Go back to the suicide rates. Take a look at them. Sexual abuse or exploitation? Exploitation. Ah, that's interesting. I could find that in public schools. Or an act or a failure to act which presents an imminent risk of serious harm. Well, sending your kids to public school guarantees that they will score 30% less than homeschoolers. So, isn't that failure to act? Test scores are going down. They have to change the tests in order to get them to go up. Sending your kids to public education is failure to teach them at home. To teach fathers, teach thy sons. That's failure to do so. It all depends on point of view. So forcing your kids to go to public education is failure to act. It's putting them in harm's way. It's exploiting them and causing emotional harm every day. But worse than that, it's coveting your neighbor's goods. In Deuteronomy 4:1, we see, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live and go and possess the land which the Lord God your fathers giveth you. You're not doing that. You're not doing that as a Jew. You're not doing it as a Christian. You're not loving your neighbor as yourself. You're coveting your neighbor's goods in order to obtain reward, benefits. In March of 2014, the Supreme Court declined to hear a case allowing the lower court ruling, a ruling favorable to the Department of Justice, to stand. This was in the Ramit Remekes, I'm not even sure how to pronounce it. It's a German family that had sought asylum in the United States because in Germany, Sweden, many of the countries over there, it's illegal to teach your children at home. You can be arrested, thrown into jail, do prison time for daring to teach your children at home. That spirit is alive and well and coming to America, coming to Australia, coming to Canada. It's coming to a community near you. It's coming to your community. Their asylum here was granted by one court and then revoked. The right of the parents to direct the education of their children was left on very shaky ground. And to give you a little bit more details on this, we will, but Eric Holder, who is supposed to be one of your smartest people in the United States, who is in charge of, you know, your Justice Department and the guarantee and protect your rights, evidently believes that there is no fundamental liberty to homeschool your children. Well, in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which you can see on our wiki site, it's the UN Declaration of Human Rights. If you go down to Article 26, everyone has a right to education, it says. Education shall be free. How in the world is that going to happen? How do you make education free? Somebody's going to pay for it. It's only free if it's done at home. If it's done in public education or private education, somebody's going to pay for it. It's not free. It might be free to you, but you're making somebody else pay. So anybody who talks about free education is already out of touch with reality. There's no such thing. It's impossible. It doesn't exist unless you're talking homeschooling. Even then, it costs the parent time and energy. We live in a cause and effect universe. If you're getting educated for free, something caused that. There is a price to pay. It goes on to say, at least in the elementary and fundamental stages, elementary education shall be compulsory. Well, that doesn't sound good for freedom of homeschooling. Technical and professional education shall be made generally available, and higher education shall be equally accessible to all on the basis of merit. Well, eventually you get down to item 3 that says parents have a prior right to choose the kind of education that shall be given to their children. We need to explore what they mean by prior right. And we'll do that on Keys of the Kingdom. Till then, peace on your house.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.